Okay, so today we're going to begin the second part, the second shiur on the topic of Imos HaMashiach and Olam Haba and the like. Last time, we briefly outlined the two positions, the Ramban on the one hand and the Rambam on the other hand, and we began going through the details of the Rambam. We started going through Hilchos Tshuva. Last time we saw Perek Ches, and today we'll start with some of the highlights from Perek Tes. In Perek Tes, the Rambam begins with a very basic question, which is, if, after all, the place of reward, or at least the primary place of reward, is Olam Haba, which is a purely spiritual existence, as the Rambam explained, then why is it that the Torah always promises physical reward for the mitzvos? The Torah very frequently says that if you do the mitzvos, you'll get bounty, prosperous crops, you'll defeat your enemies, and the like. And likewise, the reverse, if you don't fulfill the Torah, then you will be punished, your enemies will attack you, you'll have drought, famine, and the like. And the Rambam answers that what the Torah promises is not the reward for the mitzvos. The reward for doing mitzvos, as he already told you, is Olam Haba. Rather, what is it that the Torah is promising? The Torah is promising that if you do the mitzvos, you will have physical prosperity, which will give you the opportunity to do more mitzvos. Namely, it's much easier to do mitzvos and therefore get Olam Haba if one is in a position of where their physical needs are taken care of. On the other hand, if they're always being persecuted and running from place to place and the like, they won't have a chance to do the types of things which will allow them to get Olam Haba. And to quote one sentence, Elakachu achrea kol hadvarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu Torah, zu eitz chaim hi, v'chala'ose kol akasav ba, v'yod'u de'a gemura nechona, zoche ba l'chaye olam haba, u'lefigodel ma'asa v'rov chachmasau hu zoche. Now here, the Rambam says something interesting, and the question is exactly how to interpret it. We actually discussed this line in the Rambam in an earlier shiur when we talked about the position of the Rambam that nevach and apikaris, achet and apikaris, and one possibility that we discussed at that point was if Olam Haba is primarily a result of that which the intellect acquires, so then it would be definitionally impossible for someone with corrupt deos to get Olam Haba. At Ayin Shem, for what we said and the problems with that critique, with that approach. Here the Rambam, just to note, since we've already discussed it, really says two things. That Olam Haba, first of all, we get it through Torah, right? That's why we call the Torah Eitz Chaim Hi. Torah is called Eitz Chaim, it's because through Torah we get Chaim, Chaim meaning eternal life. And it says, V'kol ha'kas, kol ha'osa, kol ha'kasav ba. So first of all, to get Olam Haba, you need to do that which it says, do the mitzvos. And also, you need to know de'a gemura nechona. You need to do both. In other words, you have to have Torah and Masim Tovim. Either one is insufficient, but Torah and Chachma is a prerequisite. And therefore, lefi godel ma'asa v'rov chachmaso, according to the greatness of your Chachma and your Masim, so then you get it. So, again, therefore, someone who's always being persecuted will not be able to have time to study Torah and the like, and therefore they won't get Olam Haba. And therefore the Torah says, if you do mitzvos and you do that which is right, then you'll be rewarded with prosperity, and that prosperity will give you the opportunity to study Torah. And if you study Torah, then you'll be able to get Olam Haba. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I think on a most basic level, it's because Torah and mitzvos are what perfects a person. And it's not just chachma, but it's mitzvos as well. Mitzvos are misakin and neshama. Now that could be understood in mystical terms, but also in rational terms. And that's the purpose of the mitzvos. Like we saw when we did the section on the Rambam's Tamei Mitzvos. Mitzvos are to perfect society, but also to perfect a person. Perhaps Talmud Torah is foremost among them in that respect, but mitzvos as well perfect a person, and to the extent that he perfects himself, he'll be able to enjoy Olam Haba. And again, that's the idea of punishing. Punishments mentioned in the Torah, Shadayin HaEmes, will either give you the opportunity to do Torah mitzvos or take away the obstacles from performing mitzvos. Okay, so therefore the brachos and the klalos in the Torah are not the actual schar va'onesh as much as affording the hechatimtzas or taking away the hechatimtzas, the opportunities to get Olam Haba. And then the Rambam continues, because this is the purpose of the brachos and the klalos in the Torah, that is why the Jewish people have so much longed for Yemos HaMashiach. Why did they want Yemos HaMashiach? What is the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach? Yemos HaMashiach is going to be a time of prosperity and tranquility, which will allow people the time to sit and learn and do mitzvos and thereby get Olam Haba. So the purpose of Mashiach and why the Chachamim have longed so much for Mashiach is because Mashiach, the Yemos HaMashiach, will be an opportunity for people to get Olam Haba, right? The Yimtzu Lahem Mirgua, the Yirbu Bechachma, Kadesh Yizgu Lahem Haba. That's the purpose of Mashiach. Now, this might be why the purpose of Tchias HaMesim for the Rambam. If you recall last week, we raised the question without actually answering it, which is, what is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim according to the Rambam? After all, Tchias HaMesim does not usher in the period of Olam Haba. Everybody dies afterwards. So what is its purpose? The answer might be to allow people to get Olam Haba, or even more Olam Haba. Namely, and this gets actually to the question that you asked before Shir, but the Rambam doesn't think that Tchias HaMesim necessarily has to take place during Yemos HaMashiach, but it most likely will. And what does Tchias HaMesim do? Tchias HaMesim allows everyone, and most importantly the Tzaddikim, to experience Yemos HaMashiach. And why is that important? Because it will allow them a chance to get, I guess, more Olam Haba. Just imagine a person who was unfortunate to spend his whole life being persecuted by pogroms and running from place to place and the like, never having a chance to live, you know, to learn so much Torah. Perhaps they lived a very short life. Perhaps Yemos HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim during Yemos HaMashiach will give such a person a second chance. Now, if so, this is actually very similar to the second Tchias HaMesim that we mentioned within the other school of thought. If you recall last week, we mentioned that according to the Ramban, the primary Tchias HaMesim will take place after the Yom HaGadol V'Hanorah, after Yemos HaMashiach, ushering in Olam Haba. But there might be a Tchias HaMesim for Tzaddikim before or during Yemos HaMashiach, which will allow the Tzaddikim to benefit from the time of Mashiach. And in that sense, then, there's actually a parallel between one type of Tchias HaMesim in the Ramban's thought, not the primary one, but perhaps the secondary one, and Tchias HaMesim for Olam Haba, for the Rambam. In Perek Yud, after the Rambam has discussed Olam Haba for two chapters, he tells you a very important point. He says that you should not say that the reason why I'm doing Torah mitzvos is because I want Olam Haba. Just like it's obvious that you shouldn't do Torah mitzvos to get physically rewarded, to get the physical prosperity that are enumerated in the Torah, that's wrong. That's being Ovid es harav al menas lekabel pras. So too, it's wrong to do Torah mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba. Now this is a chiddush, because you might have thought that doing Torah mitzvos in order to get physical reward. I understand why that's wrong. But what is Olam Haba after all? Olam Haba is about closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about Dveikus. It's understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's spiritual connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. So what could be so bad about doing Torah mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba? We'll leave that question aside for one moment and continue with the Rambam. So the Rambam says if you shouldn't do Torah mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba, then what should motivate a person to do Torah mitzvos? So here the Rambam in Halacha Beis famously says, what is the reason you should be oses ha'emes mepnei shehu emes v'sof ha'tova lavo biglala? The purpose of doing that which is right is because it's right. You should do that which is true because it's true. Eventually the good will come, but the good shouldn't be your motivation. Your motivation shouldn't be getting Olam Haba. You should do Torah mitzvos because it's true. You should be oses ha'emes mipnei shehu emes. This, of course, the Rambam says is a very high level. Not everybody, not even every chacham is zocha to this level. But it is what we should ultimately be striving for. It's the Madrega of Avraham and the like. Now, going back to our question, what does the Rambam mean when he says you shouldn't do Torah mitzvos to get Olam Haba? What's wrong with that? So, as I mentioned, there are those who disagree with the Rambam. There are those who say that you shouldn't do Torah mitzvos in order to get reward that is an external thing, namely either physical reward or even if spiritual reward is sort of in a sense of Gan Eden or the like. But in order to achieve closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be and is indeed an appropriate level of Avodas Hashem. Reb Tzadok writes, makes that distinction. If I recall, the Rav in one place writes as well that even the Rambam agreed to this, though perhaps it's not the simple reading of the text. The Rambam agreed that doing Torah mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba in a certain sense is begeder oses emes mipnei shehu emes. Because what is Olam Haba? It's about closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about understanding the divine. And what is understanding the divine? It is coming to MS, coming to as close a possible as MS as one could possibly achieve in this world. And therefore, even the Rambam could theoretically agree with that point. Okay. Then the Rambam continues, but we'll leave the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva with that. The Rambam talks about this topic as well, besides the last three chapters of Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Malachim, starting in Perek Yud Aleph. Here his focus is more in terms of Mashiach, and he writes many of the things that he said previously, that Mashiach will be Machzir, Malchus Beis David Liyoshna, they'll the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The Rambam stresses that the mitzvos will be fully followed, will be Makrav Karbanos. If you recall when we talked about Yud Gimel Ikarim, we mentioned how one of the Ikarim of the Rambam is that the Torah is never going to be Batel, Li'olam Va'ed. And therefore, even B'Yamos HaMashiach, the Torah and all the mitzvos will continue to be observed. There's a question which goes beyond tonight's discussion about whether everyone agrees to that point. There are a number of chazals which at first glance might indicate that at a certain time mitzvos will be betelos. There's a discussion in the Gemara Nida about whether mitzvos are betelos l'asad lavo or not. At first glance you might say that the opinion that in the Gemara that says mitzvos are betelos l'asad lavo is an indication that the Rambam is wrong. However, this isn't necessarily so. Why? Because the opinion that says mitzvos are betelos l'asad lavo, according to most interpretations of that Gemara, mean li'olam haba. Now, it's true. Now, the Rambam agrees that there won't be mitzvos in olam haba. That's not a contradiction for the Rambam's thesis that mitzvos will never be batel, because the Rambam thinks that Olam Haba is a totally spiritual existence, and therefore mitzvos will by definition be impossible. While it's true that the other view, the Ramban, holds that there will be a physical existence in Olam Haba, the fact that somebody would say that there won't be mitzvos during that time doesn't really contradict the Rambam's position that mitzvos are never batali olam vaed, because that type of existence is a totally different type of existence than that which exists nowadays. And therefore we could argue that everybody agrees that mitzvos will be kayamim bimos hamashiach. Right? Everybody agrees that bimos hamashiach there will be mitzvos. The question is, what about olam haba? There is a medrash, which is Sefer Ikrim quotes, which does seem to imply that bimos hamashiach there also won't be mitzvos. So there might be a couple of scattered sources against this. The Rashba need to actually go so far as to say, when it says mitzvos are batel las lavo, I think he says that means lachar misa, meaning to say after you're dead, as the pasuk says meisim rachavshim in a mitzvos. Ad kedei kach, so as not to go against the Rambam's Yisod. But one way or the other, I think there's more or less uniformity. Now, how you deal with the various ma'amarim in Chazal, which seem to go against this, so again, most of them aren't a problem. For example, there's a medrash that says, Gemara that says that all karbanos are going to be a betel slas of lavo, except for the karban toda. Rambam himself quotes that medrash. But that might mean all karbanos nedava are betelos. Reb Tzadok makes that point. So that's something to consider. However, the Rambam certainly says that bimos hamashiach there'll be karbanos, and the mitzvos will be continuing. And as we said, adrabba, the whole purpose is in order to give us the opportunity to do those mitzvos in order to get olam haba. Okay. Then the Rambam famously says, like he says in the Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, V'chol mi she'eino mamin bo, meaning in the Mashiach. And here the Rambam has a very important line. O mi she'eino mechakel l'biyaso, lo b'shar nevi'im bilvad hu kofer. So someone who doesn't believe in the Mashiach, or someone who doesn't long for its coming, is not just contradicting or rejecting all of the Nevi'im, meaning to say most of Mashiach is described at length in many of the Nevi'im, in Yeshayahu, and Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, and the like. But he's not just denying the Nevu'ah, the Nevi'im, El Bataras Moshe Rabbeinu. He's denying the Torah. Sharei HaTorah Ha'ida Alav. The Torah itself explicitly describes Mashiach. How so? Shenemar, this is in the book of Dvarim, Perek Lamed, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuscha V'richamcha V'shav V'kibetzcha Mikol Amim, etc., etc., that God will gather the Jewish people from all their exiles, no matter how far they are, he will bring them back, etc., etc., God will bring us back to Israel. So, anyone who denies Mashiach is denying Torah Moshe. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. However, it's very interesting to note the following. When it comes to all the other Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna, all 12 out of 13, we say that someone who believes in them is a ma'amin, and someone who does not believe in them, someone who's kofir bahem, is a kofir. When it comes to Mashiach, the Rambam adds that statement, where he says, v'chol mi she'enu ma'amin bo, anyone who doesn't believe in the Mashiach, o mi she'enu mechakel abiyaso, or someone who does not long for its coming. In other words, belief alone is not enough. Someone who believes but does not long for is a kofir as well. Now, why is that? Why is it different than all the other ones? So, we'll get back to this point perhaps in detail a little bit later, but on a basic level, because how could someone not long for a time of universal recognition of God? A time where the Malchus Hashem will be clear in the whole world. In fact, there are many, many tefillos which we have about Yemos HaMashiach, and the primary focus of these is not about our own pleasure or enjoyment, what we get out of Mashiach, as it were, but really they're God-focused. The Tur, quoting Rashi, explains, what does it mean when we say Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach, and what is Kaddish all about? So where does Kaddish come from? Yisgadal v'yisgadash Shemei Rabba, when God's name become great and sanctified, glorified and sanctified. Where is that from? That's from the Nevuos that discuss Gog u'Magog, the war of Gog u'Magog. We're going to actually talk later on, Bezras Hashem, if we get to it, I don't know if we'll get to it today, about what the wars of Gog u'Magog were and what they're meant to achieve. But for now, suffice it to say that at the end of these wars, God's name will become glorified and magnified, and there will be universal recognition of God, his greatness, who he is, and what he is. That is what we daven for when we say Yisgadal v'yisgadash Shemei Rabba, may God's name become great and sanctified. And moreover, we say Yehei Shemei Rabba Mevorach, may God's name become great and blessed, Li'olam Olmei Omaya, forever and ever. Now, the truth is Yehei Shemei, as the Torah points out, could have two meanings. It could be a petition or a statement. We'll assume that we're davening. We're saying, may God's name become great, Yehei Shemei Rabba. The other interpretation is Yehei Shemei Rabba, his great name. But let's assume for a moment, like Rashi, that it means Yehei Shemei Rabba, may God's name become great. That's what Kaddish is about. Now, what does that mean? What do we mean when we pray for God's name to become great? And as I mentioned, many of the prayers relating to Mashiach are about this. Certainly the theme of L'chein Tein Pachtecha in the Yamin Orayim, Aleinu L'Shabeach, and the like are all about this. What this means is the following. What do we mean? We say, for example, also after the war of Gog u'Magog, after the defeat of Edom and Esav, we say, V'yashem l'melech al kol haaretz, b'yom ahu yashem echad ushmo echad. God will be king over the whole world, and in that day, his name will be one, yashem echad ushmo echad. What does that mean? God is one now. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. God is one now, like we saw at the beginning of this series when we did the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Yisod Yatorah. Yisod of Emunah is God is one. What do we mean that we daven that Bayom Ahu, in that day God's name will be one? Now God's name is one. So, very briefly, the answer is that yes, of course, God's name is one. There is no power besides him. He is the source for all existence. However, there's a contradiction between the way we perceive God in this world and that which he actually and truly is. And that's what we refer to when we refer to God's name. God's name is the way in which we perceive him. We can never really understand or relate to God's essence. As finite and limited human beings, we can't possibly fully understand God's essence. But what we do relate to is that way in which he manifests himself in this world. And therefore, what we daven for is that there be no longer this contradiction between God's essence and his name. Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad means that we pray for a world in which we will see God as one, meaning to say there will be no longer any appearances of any contradictory forces in the world. We'll see only God. It will be obvious, just as we know now intellectually, to anyone who looks at the world, that there is nothing besides him. Ein od milvado. And hence, the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmos at the end of Parshas B'Shalach with respect to the war against Amalek, the Pasuk says, Kiyad al keska milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. And Chazal explain, Kiyad al keska ein Hashem shalem, therefore it says ka, as opposed to the full name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ve'en ha-kisei shalem, and therefore it says case as opposed to kisei, as long as Amalek is around. So God in that parsha swears that milchama l'Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor, there's a war by God against Amalek, as long as Amalek exists. Because as long as Amalek exists, ein Hashem shalem ve'en ha-kisei shalem. What does that mean? It means that the way in which God manifests himself in the world is incomplete. Because when we look at the world, we see something that would seem to contradict God's oneness. We look at the world, we see tzaddik viralo, we see rasha v'tovlo, we see wicked people prospering, righteous people suffering. And that's why, of course, we live in a world where the possibility for kfira exists. And originally, at that time, there was a world in which the possibility of avodah zarah existed. And what do? We daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be megala kavod malchuso. And in that way, Yashem Echad Ushma Echad. And in fact, that's even how Rashi interprets the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, according to Rashi, means Shema Yisrael Hashem, who is now Elokeinu, who is now our God, one day will be Hashem Echad, the God of the whole world, meaning universally recognized. Now, if that's the case, then it's obvious why it's so important to long for Yemos HaMashiach. Longing for Yemos HaMashiach is not just because it will be a time of prosperity and a time even where we'll be able to do mitzvos, though that's certainly very much part of it. The Rambam says that lo nisavu chachamim Yemos HaMashiach, rather because it was a time to be able to achieve chachma and mitzvos, but we could also add to that that it will be a time of gilui kvod malchuso, and that's why it's so important. Yes, your question?
Yeah, I was going to say that still, to look at the other Yudkimikarim, those are more like, if you don't believe in them, then you don't believe in God. This is more, it'll be the best situation, like, will eventually come, but why should that? Someone who doesn't believe in that, there's no cool chilek in words, it still seems different than the other.
Okay, well, Schar Va'onesh.
Right, but you could explain that as, like, it's Tashkafa and. Which is more fundamental to what
God and Chias HaMesim.
Right, that's hard no matter
what. Right, for the Rambam.
Right.
Yeah. So perhaps we could have another time where we could discuss Ikar Yemuna and what constitutes an Ikar. And there are different approaches here. Why the Rambam chose these particular things as Ikarim, how you deal with seeming cases of overlap and the like. But yes, you are correct that we haven't fully addressed that point. Okay, the Rambam continues here, and he tells you what is necessary for someone to be classified as the Mashiach. He says, "Al yale al daitcha shemelach haMashiach tzarch lasos osos umovsim," that the Melech haMashiach will have to do miracles in order to prove he's Mashiach. He continues and explains that there's really two levels of proof. There's Cheskas Mashiach and there's Vaday Mashiach. And now's not the time to go into these details, though they are quite interesting. One of the proofs that the Rambam brings that the Melech Mashiach doesn't have to perform great miracles is the fact that Rabbi Akiva supported Bar Kochva and presumed him, at least, to be the Melech HaMashiach at some point. Now, of course, when Bar Kochva was killed, Kevan Shenehrag Noda Lahem She'eno, it was clear that he wasn't the Mashiach. But the very fact that he thought that he was, or he likely was, shows that the Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to perform miracles. So what is it that the Melech HaMashiach has to do? So the Rambam explains, and as I said, he gives two levels, basically. He says that if the king will arise from the base David, and he will be a great Talmud Chacham like David, and observe mitzvos in the Tarsha B'chsav and Tarsha Baal Peh like David, and he will bring all of the Jewish people to follow in the ways of Torah and repair the breaches in observance, and he'll fight the wars of God, so then he will be Bechezkas Mashiach. And then if he succeeds in the above, as well as building the Beis HaMikdash on its site and gathering the Jewish people, so then he's Vaday Mashiach. Now, then the Rambam says, but if he doesn't succeed in this, V'imlo Yitzliach Ad Ko, O Neharag, so then Biyadua She'eino Zesh, Yivticha Alav Atar, then we know he's not the Mashiach. And rather, he's like one of the other Malchus-based David that died. And he says he was only brought up l'nasos es Yisrael. And here the Rambam mentions the issue of Christianity. Af Yeshu hanotzri shedima shehaya Mashiach v'nereg beveistin kfar nizbar bo Daniel shenemar uvnei pritzei amcha yinas'u lahamid chazon v'nechshalu. So this is a reference to Yeshu HaNotzri. And this is considered a michshol in that he was machshil many, many people. He caused many people to go astray. And he notes here that the ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu are not ways which we could comprehend. But he does mention famously that this might be the purpose of Christianity and Islam, that they did serve a purpose. Ketzad, kfar nismalia olam kulo medivrei HaMashiach umedivrei HaTorah umedivrei HaMitzvos. Through Christianity and Islam, the entire world became filled with knowledge of Mashiach and Torah and Mitzvos. Okay. Now, then in Halacha in Perek Yud Beis, the Rambam continues and he restates the notion that there won't be necessarily, or there won't be changes in Teva. The Ravid over here argues somewhat. He quotes Shmuel, Ein bein olam hazel imos ha-mashiach la-shibud malchios bilvad. Then he says that there are a number of things with respect to the coming of the Mashiach that we're not very sure about. Yiraya mipshutan shel divrei neviim shebetchilas imos ha-mashiach tia melchamas gog u-magog. That it would seem that at the beginning of Mashiach there'll be a Melchemes Gog u-Magog. He refers to another Navi coming before Mashiach, before Melchemes Gog u-Magog, as the Pasuk says, Hine Anochi Shalech Lachemes Eliyahu HaNavi, and Veheshev Leif Avos. When we look at Tanakh and Chazal, there are certainly many, many additional factors, many, many mysteries. In Chazal, we have Mashiach ben Yosef versus Mashiach ben David, perhaps Mashiach ben Yosef being killed. There's a lot of midrashim about Gog u-Magog. And it's possible, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin indicates, that there are many, many ways and manners in which Mashiach could come. Perhaps there is no specific plan, and therefore, depending on what's appropriate, that's what will happen. The Rambam tells you about all these things, as we saw him say earlier with respect to Olam Haba, that you shouldn't think too much about them. Nobody will know how they will turn out until they actually happen. These are things that are closed and impossible to fully understand. And therefore, there's a lot of debate about what will happen, but it's not very important to know. Rather, what should you focus on? Chachma and Divrei Torah, and not in these midrashim that tell you about that, about the nature of Yemos HaMashiach. Ela Yechakev Yamin Bechlal HaDaver Kimon Shebiyarnu. You should rather wait for the general idea and not get too carried away trying to figure out the details. It's very interesting. The Rambam, in one of his letters, writes about how dangerous it is, l'chashe v'saketz, to try to understand and predict when the Mashiach is going to come, based especially on the Psukim in Daniel, though towards the end of the letter, he seems to fall prey to his own advice and communicates a tradition that he has from his teachers about when the Ketz will be. The Rambam, as I said, mentions, I'm going to skip most of the rest of this paragraph, but he reiterates the purpose of coming of Mashiach and why we long for it. And with that, he ends Yad HaChazaka, he ends Mishneh Torah with that discussion, with the mention the final sentence, it's hard to leave out. Ulefikach yu Yisrael chachamim gedolim v'yodim dvarim hastumim v'yasigu das bar'am kefi koach ha'adam, shenemar kimala ha'aretz deyas Hashem kimayim liyam mechasim, that the Jewish people in that time will become great in their knowledge, as the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the ocean bed. So that is the position of the Rambam. Before we get into the position of the Ramban, I'd like to... Maybe we'll do one, we'll do two things in the Ramban, and then maybe if we have time we'll get back to the other point. The point that I did want to get back to is the question of why Olam Haba is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Not just because this is an important question, how could such a fundamental principle not be mentioned, but also because the answers that are offered by the Rishonim are very revealing in terms of understanding the nature of Olam Haba. First of all, we mentioned last week that the Ravid critiques the Rambam for not mentioning the destruction of the world. Where is this based on? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph says, Amar of Katina, Shis alfei shani havu alma, v'chad charav, shenemar, v'nizgav Hashem levado, bayom hahu. So that's what the Gemara says. The way this is generally understood is that sometime prior to Tchias HaMesim, the world will undergo a cataclysmic change as it metamorphosizes into its final state. And for a period of 1,000 years, the world will return to Tohu Vavohu, the same state that existed before creation. And at the end of that time, it will be remade into a new permanent form and Olam Haba. The Rashban Shuvos actually mentions this in Chelak Aleph Siman Tes, and he writes, Ani kvar kasavti ki zeh das rabosenu zal v'hakabala biyadam al kacha amar av katina shisa alfei ve'en anu roen betalmud cholek alav v'chulei ayin sham. Meaning to say, there is no body that we know of in the Gemara that actually disputes this fact. Likewise, the Ravid that we mentioned last week on Perek Ches Halacha Ches of Hilchos Tshuva says, Amar Avram, Nira kimakcha she'en ha'olam chozer l'tov v'avohu, v'akadosh baruch hu mechadish olamo. V'amru, shisa alfei shanin havu alma, v'chad charov. It will be destroyed for 1,000 years. V'nimtza shu olam chadash. Likewise, the Ramchal writes in the Mamar Ha'ikarim on the Geula, V'hine achar shehuchnu ha'reuyim l'shar b'nitzchios kol echad b'madregaso, hine ha'olam hazeh yachzer l'tohu v'avohu, dehainu shetipasei tsuraso v'yashuv mayim b'mayim kemo b'tchilas ha'bria. Meaning to say, it will go back to the state that it was before the Bria. Uvenkach uvenkach hatzadikim shezmano lenitzchias HaKadosh Baruch Hu yamidim b'ma'amaro kemalachi ashares belish yitztarchu liolam hazeh. Ve'amnam lo yasigu adayin hatova amitis kiray lahem ela achar she'amad ha'olam tohu hazman shegazra hachachma al yona yashuv v'yachadesh b'tzura acheres ne'usa Lemasha Rawi Sheya Lenitzchios Vyashuvu Hatzadikim Vyeshvu Vyiskaimu Bolanetzach Nehenim Bitova Hamitis Kol Achad Kafi Madregaso. So apparently it's necessary for the world to be destroyed to be prepared for the situation of Olam Haba. The Rambam, I think, actually alludes to this in Mor Nevuchim, Chelak Beis, Perek Chavtes, Ayin Shem. So this period of destruction, then, is meant to be a transition from this world to the world to come. It's a time of purification, and it sounds like from the Ramchal that the purpose is because human beings will mekalkel the olam through chet, and especially through the chet of Adam HaRishon, meaning to say that originally there was no need, there was not supposed to be a need for this destruction. Had Adam HaRishon not eaten from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, then he could have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, which would have ushered in a period of Olam Haba directly. And perhaps at that point, there would have been room for eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. However, because of Chet, being Mekalkel this world, so then it was necessary to destroy the whole world, and then the Neshama will be powerful enough to purify the world, and through Tchias HaMesim, human beings will achieve Shlemus. Now, as I mentioned last week, these are things that we don't really understand. I certainly don't understand them. Ein lanu esek b'nistaros, but you were curious about that point of the destruction of the world, so I thought I would mention a couple of makoros pertaining to that. As we mentioned also, the Ramban's position is that nowadays, when a person dies, they go to the Olam HaNeshamos, as opposed to Olam Haba, as the Rambam explains. What is the nature of the Olam HaNeshamos? So there's Gan Eden, there's Gehenim. What are these things? So the Ramban is marech about this. If you want, it's really worthwhile to learn the end of, at the end of Tars HaAdam, there's the Shar HaGmul, where he talks about this at length. In terms of the Ramban's position on the Geula as well, Olam Haba, you could look at his Sefer Geula, which is published in the Kisvei HaRamban. I'd like to just mention one point about Olam Haba, though, which I think is confusing to many people, and with this we'll stop. The point that I'd like to mention about Olam Haba, about Gan Eden, is the following. What does the Gan Eden that we discuss have to do with the Gan Eden that is described in Parshas Bereishis? The Gan Eden described in Parshas Bereishis would seem to be a physical location on this world. If we read the Psukim Kipshutam, after Adam sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expelled him from Gan Eden. He put the Cherev HaMisapachas, which prevented Adam from being able to get back into Gan Eden and eat from the Eitz HaChaim, which would have been inappropriate at that point. So the Ramban says that those psukim, in Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto, that Gan Eden is an actual place on this world. However, just as we find in Chazal discussions of the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, which is Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, there's a heavenly Beis HaMikdash or a spiritual Beis HaMikdash, which is Keneged, the physical Beis HaMikdash, which was on this world. The same thing holds true with respect to Gan Eden, that there's a Gan Eden Shalmala, which corresponds to the Gan Eden Shalmata. Now, what is the nature of this Gan Eden? So it's very late. Do you want another shiur on this topic, or is it getting too boring?
Whatever people ask you about. You're okay with that?
Yeah, so we'll start off then, Be'ezus Hashem, after Pesach. We'll do one last cheer on it. We'll start off with explaining what is Gan Eden, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll also discuss that final question of why the Torah doesn't mention spiritual reward explicitly, and then we'll go on to another topic. So thank you very much, and have a Chag